We're in a series called Fit for Life. And at the start of the series, those who were here will remember that Lindsay got everybody to get up and do a few gentle physical exercises. And I thought we would do the same today. So would you please stand up? And if you're at home, please, can you stand up as well? So I'd like to stand up. And could you please just gently start, if you're able, start walking on the spot. That's how you start walking on the spot. And if you're beginning to feel a bit energetic, how about, I can see Kenneth over there has already started, if we could do a bit of gentle jogging on the spot. That would be excellent. Excellent. You're getting the hang of this. Now I want you to reach into your pockets or into your handbags and pull out your wallet or purse. And I want you to say after me, help yourself. Now, those of you watching at home will be relieved to know that the vast majority of the church members in the building did not obey that last instruction. Please take a seat. Thank you very much. My dad used to try that trick on other family members, and my, how we laughed, particularly the 10th time he tried it. That was a joke, of course, but it's also an illustration of Mark's sermon from last week, because as we saw from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, money is a master. It can be a master of us, have a hold on us for good or ill, and that's one of the reasons we might be rather resistant to people trying to take it off us. This is Giving for Mission Sunday. And I'm going to talk about the finances of St. Barnabas Church. And can I say right at the start, I'm very aware that there are people in this church, whether in the building or online, who have serious financial challenges at the moment, not least due to COVID-19. And if that's you, please do not feel any sense of obligation about what I'm going to say. Indeed, you may need to reduce your giving to St. Barnabas because of your current circumstances. And I also want to say a big thank you to everybody who currently gives financially to St. Barnabas. Thank you for your generosity. Today we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and see how it answers three questions. First, why do we give to church? Second, how do we give to church? And third, what is the result of giving to church? Why do we give? How do we give? What's the result? If you do have a Bible with you, if you've got a Bible at home, please do open it up. Obviously, do so if it's on your phone or a hard copy. And find 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Now, the background to this chapter is that Paul is seeking a fund from churches around the Mediterranean for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And in the passage we heard, he's writing to encourage the Corinthians to complete their contribution to that fund so that Paul can get it to Jerusalem. Now, the Corinthian church did include some wealthy people, but most of them were very ordinary. So why do we give to church? Verse 10 is really the heart of the passage, and it says this. Now he, that's God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. This central verse is reminding us that God is the ultimate generous giver. Christians hold that God created the world. The seed, our daily bread, everything is his gift to us. Jesus is the ultimate example of gracious giving. Jesus, the Son of God, who became poor so that we through his poverty might become rich. Then there's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the rocket fuel that has propelled Christians and the church down the centuries. Finally, the gift of life everlasting, the most precious hope we have in Christ, that death is not the end. No wonder Paul ends this chapter with these ringing words, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Even during COVID, even though we may have many troubles, we have much from God for which to give thanks. Giving, then, is the core of who God is. And since Christians hold that humans are made in the image of God, we are made to give. That explains verse 6, which we started our reading. And it's verse 6 is kind of the mirror image of verse 10. Having heard in verse 10 of how God is the source of all that we have, verse 6 says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There's a kind of cascade here. God gives to us, and we in turn are to be generous givers in our turn. That's the fundamental reason why we give. But there is a more specific reason in this chapter. Verse 12 says that we give specifically to supply the needs of the Lord's people. Now, last autumn, St. Barnabas adopted its mission action plan. It's a very ambitious program, and it reflects the great needs that there are around us in Middlesbrough and Teesside. Alongside sustaining our worship and building up our existing church members, our mission action plan commits us to have a special focus on people aged 0 to 25, a special focus on compassion ministries to the many struggling in our community, and a special focus on sharing the hope we have in Jesus, evangelism, so desperately needed in this day. There's a huge need, therefore, to fund the mission of God in this place. As a church, we get no state help. Indeed, we pay quite a bit of tax. The only way we will fund the mission of St. Barnabas is by ourselves, the people of St. Barnabas, giving. Now, as vicar, I'm really proud to be part of St. Barnabas Church, as I get to see close up what St. Barnabas has done and is planning to do. I'm really proud when I hear Phil, our treasurer, as he's going to be speaking a little bit later, outline the ways our money blesses people both here and overseas. Did you know that it costs thousands of pounds to keep the building going? But that it's both so that we can have worship here, but also so that we can run things like food bank, which will be in this building tomorrow morning. Did you know that St. Barnabas gives 10% of its income away to mission, mostly overseas amongst the poorest people of the world? Just a few months ago, we advanced £10,000 to fund a new microscope in an eye clinic in Jachi in Ghana, with which we've strong links. Did you know that about the new IT equipment St. Barnabas has acquired? We've had to make heavy investment because of COVID, and we'll need to do more in the future. Did you know about the new staff who've joined the church recently? It's been great to welcome new staff this past year, and they are crucial to sustaining our work during COVID, and we may well need more of this in the years to come. We can only do that if we not only sustain but indeed increase our giving. We've relied as a church on legacies in recent years to break even. Thank God for those legacies, but that's not a sustainable way to operate. So we need to be generous because we follow a God who gives to us generously. And we are to be generous to St. Barnabas because God has given us a mission here, which is so needed. That's the why. What about the how do we give? Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This verse is saying that we should give after serious thought. We give what we have decided in our hearts. Our giving is to be deliberate, not impulsive. St. Barnabas gives 10% of its income away to missions, mostly overseas amongst poorer countries. So 10% of what is given to this church goes immediately back out to poorer countries. What percentage of your income are you currently giving? The leaflet which has been mailed out to church members, I've got a copy of it here, it's got a chart in it which shows what different percentages of our incomes look like. There it is there. What percentage are you, am I, giving? How does that compare with the percentage of our incomes going out on other things? Now, I urged people to get out our wallets just a moment ago. Here's mine. And it's only right, I think, that you know what Lindsay and I do. Well, for a long time, we've aimed to give away 10% of our income. And some years that's been straightforward. Some years it's been impossible. But we find 10% is a good guide, a yardstick. Some listening to this will find 10% impossible. Some could do more than 10%. And Lindsay and I give by standing order. That's really helpful because it ensures that the church has a regular, steady income and can plan ahead. If you've not yet done so, can you give by standing order? Or if you can't use that means, there's something called an envelope scheme, which does roughly the same thing. And if you are giving already by standing order, remember that inflation means our gifts will shrink each year if we just keep them the same. So if you've left your giving the same for several years, you're actually cutting it. Could you, if you've left your income, your giving steady for a few years, consider increasing it this year? And is this the time for you to consider making a one-off gift? And I say this particularly to those of us who have saved money during COVID because of all the things we've not been able to do. Please hand in the response card that should have reached you by post. Please fill it in and then return it to Phil, our treasurer. Christian faith is not meant to simply be a warm feeling in our hearts. It's meant to involve lifestyle change. Just as we know that in order to get physically fitter, we need to exercise, it's not enough just to want to be fitter. So to be generous people, we need to give generously of our money. I've explored why we give and how we give. So what is the result of our giving? The first and most important result is the giving of glory to God. In verse 13, Paul says this, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for your generosity. In COVID, when there is so much that we are not allowed to do, we can still give financially, and we can still make a real impact by so doing. Might God be calling you to go deeper in financial generosity, to make the good news of Jesus more findable in this place, by which God will be glorified? Now, there are many different calls in the Christian life, but one of them is the call to bless people by giving from our financial wealth. And that is a worthy calling, not to be dismissed. Might that be your call this year? our giving leads to praise of God, but it also leads to blessing on the person who gives. In verse 11, Paul says, "You will be made rich in every way." Now, we need to be a bit careful here because Paul is emphatically not talking about some kind of prosperity gospel. Paul, the writer, remember, had times of severe poverty in his life. But we will know God's blessing when we are generous. Now, there's a lot one could say on this, but I want to mention one blessing, and that's cheerfulness. I do believe that when we give, we actually get more cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver, but I actually think sometimes the giving comes and then the cheer comes after. Verse 7 declares that God loves a cheerful giver. There's a link between generosity and good cheer. We are to be cheerful givers, not out of giving out of guilt or reluctantly. And we will feel better for giving. God himself, we might say, is the original cheerful giver, giving life, giving Jesus, giving the Spirit, giving hope eternal to us. And by so doing starts a chain reaction of generosity and thanksgiving. He gave to us, we give to others, and all are glad. And I think it works the other way around, that when we are mean with our money, I think we become mean sort of inside. Not a good way to be. I saw some pictures recently of giant steel columns being rammed deep into the sand on the seafront at Redcar. That's the foundation for a new cinema, right on the seafront. And the steel piles have to be pushed right deep down into the sand so that the building will hold firmly on the bedrock. Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 7 of how when we put his words into practice, we're like good builders, building on a solid foundation. And Jesus talked also elsewhere a lot about the danger of money and the way we can dethrone its power as our master by giving it away. How we treat our money shows what the foundation we are building our lives on. Our God is a generous God. He calls us to be the same. Now, those who are members of St. Barnabas should have received a mailing in the last few days and are all about giving, and in it is this response card. Please, could you fill this response card in and then post it in the envelope provided to Phil, our treasurer? That's your response, my response, for this Giving for Mission Sunday. You can also find the same information up on the church website. And as you fill in the response card, can I suggest you do three things? Pray, plan, and pledge. Pray about what you're going to give. Bring God into your financial decisions. Plan what you should give. What proportion of your income should it be? And pledge. Fill in the card. It's when we make a concrete pledge that things then have a habit of happening. And if we can be more generous as a church community, that will seriously move forward our mission in this place. God is the original cheerful giver. All we have is from him. He has given us an exciting mission in this place, and that mission needs resourcing. What can you, what can I give to make that a reality? Amen.